ॐ शुक्लां भर्वरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ The last Nama we saw was 756th Nama, Dhara Dhara, the sole support of the earth. So you are sitting on earth, you are supported by earth as an individual, and then the earth itself is supported by the Lord. So meaning, he is the Adhara of everything, the substratum of everything. So if you really understand this, then you will not take upon everything on yourself. You understand that the very supporter is the Lord. So you don't have to worry about everything. You just have to start doing what you are supposed to do. That's all. So when you understand this Nama, Dhara Dhara, means the real supporter, the substratum. So that supporter never leaves you high and dry. He is always with you. It is just that our mind turns away when we are in sukha. We go into the pleasures and we forget the supporter. We indulge. And when dukkha happens also, we think the supporter has left us. The supporter has not left us. Dukkha has happened because, what is the root cause of dukkha that we have studied so far? Anybody?
Attachment, vasanas.
Correct. Attachment. Attachment causes sorrow and suffering. And the attachment comes from the ignorance of our true nature. So, due to the ignorance of our true nature, which is limitless, infinite, we imagine a superimposed personality, a limited personality. And this limited imagined personality has this sense of limitation due to that, wants to feel complete. So the thoughts run towards the world. The initial stage is called attachment. The moment we are attached to the world, we suffer. So instead of attaching to the supporter, we attach to the world. Therefore we suffer and we think the supporter has left us high and dry. Supporter never leaves us high and dry. So, you know, it's a very wrong practice, but you can see somebody doing it. They catch the child in both arms and palms and then throw the child and keep it and catch the child. And the child laughs, smiles. And you're not supposed to do that, but people do that sometimes. You would have seen that. The child is laughing. So, we should live in this world like that. In the sense, you may be thrown up and down here and there, but there is the divinity that is holding on to you. That is holding you, not holding on to you. Holding you. So, if you understand this Nama, Dhara Dhara, you will never be stressed. Impossible. All these Namas, you know, many, many, many places it comes. In fact, there is another Nama coming in 759. Which the particular thought has come in many different namas. What happens is when you understand these namas and you develop a completely different perception and bhav, even dukkha will not be seen as, or the situation that is tough will not be seen as something that is negative. You will see it as an opportunity given by the Lord to make you strong. That is how a spiritual person thinks. So when you have changed your way of thinking like that, then nothing can really affect you. You do not have control over what happens to you, but you have control over how you face it or react to it. So start working on that. Even yesterday, in one of my classes, one lady asked a little difficult circumstance or situation that happened to her personally. So she asked, her husband died many years ago. He was coming in the flight. Suddenly he had some problem and people over there tried to help him. Apparently they gave him some wrong medicine and he died. He died in the plane. So she was a little disturbed by that. Of course it happened many years ago, but she was still a little bit disturbed. She was saying, how do I face such situations? So this is exactly what we can say philosophically speaking. What happens is not under our control. But how we react to it, how we face it, that is something which is in our control. In fact, when we start working on the field where we have control, slowly, slowly, our ability increases so that many more things come under our control. With your clarity, you will be able to kind of project and see a lot more. So the way to gain control over many things is by starting functioning in the field where you have control. So Dhara Dhara, the ultimate supporter, the sole supporter of the earth, meaning everything is supported by the Lord. So we think even little bit we do and give support to few people, we think we are supporting a lot of people. You are not able to support, you will not be able to support anyone if you do not get the support of the Lord. So as you draw the support from the Lord, the thought should be supreme in you to support other beings through your activities. So now the question may come, okay, Lord is supporting the earth. Who supports the Lord? Lord is not dependent on any support. He is self-support. So therefore, you should always keep the Lord in your head so that you will be balanced and humble in all circumstances. Next verse.
Tejo Vrisho Dyutidharah Sarva Shastra Vrithambarah Pragraho Nigraho Vyagro Naika Shringo Gadagrajah Tejo Vrisho Dyutidharah Sarva Shastra Vrithambarah Pragraho Nigraho Vyagro Naika Shringo Gadagrajah Tejo Vrishah. Tejo Vrishah means one who showers rain, one who showers radiance, and through the heat and light of the Lord, the indirectly the rain comes. So Tejo Vrishah means one who showers radiance is one meaning, the other one is one who showers rain, you know, that is Tejo Vrishah. One who in the form of the sun causes rainfall at all times. So the rainfall comes indirectly due to the heat and light of the sun that causes various chain of cause and effect. And because of that, you get the rain and it contributes to the cultivation. So without the sun's role, you cannot live. And the sun is able to function because the support it is getting from the divinity. So Tejo Vrishah, one who showers the ability to the sun and through the sun supports the entire universe. Also what it means is by his mere presence, he supports all the experiences. One who illumines the experiences of all living creatures with his light, that is Sri Narayana. Lord Vishnu is the one who enlivens our equipments, and through the equipments we gain various experiences. So the illuminator of all our experiences is Lord. Therefore he is called as Tejo Vrishaha. Then Dyuti Daraha. Dyuti means glow of beauty. That is what Dyuti means. One whose form is always brilliant, glowing, beautiful. See, the very Nama, when he says Dyuti Daraha, what does it mean? It means the nature of the Lord is shine, sentiency. And when that sentiency supports the insentient body, mind, intellect, that reflects through the body, mind. So anywhere you see brilliance, it is the brilliance of the Lord. So one who bears the effulgent form, that's what it means. His effulgence is his own nature. See, when you heat the water with fire, the water becomes hot. So the heat of the fire gets transferred to the water. So the water's original nature is not heat, but fire's original nature is heat. Similarly, he says, Dyuti Daraha, his original nature is brilliance, glow. And when he says his original nature is glow, your original nature is glow. So, it is the light of the Atman that creatures become aware of all their perceptions, you know, actions, emotions, thoughts, everything is enlivened by the light of Atman. The light of Atman that makes you become aware of your perceptions, actions, emotions and thoughts. Therefore, when you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, think, it's an opportunity for you to say Hari Om. Because of the Lord, we are experiencing everything. But the problem is when we experience, our mind shifts to the object of our experience and we forget the Lord. Since our mind moves away from the Lord, we suffer. That's all. Then he says, Sarva Shastra Bhritam Varaha. This is what I was telling you. The best among those who wield weapons. Why he is called as the best among the ones who wield weapons? The weapons in the hands of the Lord, for example, the Sudarshan Chakra. Sudarshan means what? Auspicious vision. Sudarshana Chakra is the ultimate weapon. And the chakra destroys what? What does the chakra destroy? What is the chakra destroyed? Nobody's answering.
The evil, the bad in you.
When you said just evil, I'm waiting to say that, as many times we say evil outside, evil within us. And what is the evil within us?
Ego.
Egocentric desires, egoistic attitude. And when the egocentric attitude and egocentric desires and egoistic attitude is destroyed, what happens to you? What happens to your life?
there's no freedom.
You celebrate. Life becomes a celebration. The ego is the spoiler. मैंने किया और कोई नहीं कर रहा है, सब कुछ मैंने करना पड़ता है, मैं. The moment I comes, mine comes, you stop enjoying. You find out when you work in a field that you really love, slowly you find yourself dissolved in the work. You are sometimes not even aware how much time has gone by. You are not hungry. You are in great joy, bliss. Why? Because the little self was not present there. The moment little self comes in, it destroys everything. So, Sarva Shastra Bhutam Varaha, the best among those who wield weapons, because his weapons is to destroy the evil in us. When we start gaining more awareness in life, ego cannot survive. Ego will die. What is this? The best, because his weapons are used for establishment of dharma, peace. What all is this? So when you start understanding these things, when you evolve spiritually, you will then begin to understand that even the things so-called negative that is happening is for your good only. So remember that. Sudarshana. Darshana means vision. Sudarshana means auspicious vision. So when the chakra of the Lord is released, it only gives you good thing. They are relieving you from that ego. It is the biggest problem. Pragraha. Pragraha means one who is the sole receiver of the devotee's offering. So when you offer many things to the Lord, you know, one who accepts the offerings of devotees with great delight. You may offer to many different devatas, you think like that. You think you are offering to different devatas. But ultimately the only person who receives it is the Lord. It's called Pragraha. One who accepts the offerings of the devotees with great delight. Ultimately, I've explained this before in one of the namas. The object that is outside is seen through your eyes. Eye is only a window through which the object enters and it goes to the mind. Then finally it goes to the consciousness within. So who is actually receiving everything is the consciousness. So everything that you are giving is received by the consciousness. So that's what he's saying here. So, one who is the sole receiver of all the worship of every devotee. Sole receiver of all the offerings. So we are thinking, we are giving to this devata, that devata. I told you, you make an application to the respective department, maybe agriculture field. So, you require something for your agriculture field, so you go to the agriculture ministry. Somebody needs something from the finance ministry. So they get to the finance ministry. Everybody is applying, but ultimately it comes from the government of India. Department seems to be different, that's all. So similarly, the Lord who receives everything. Also the word pragraha means the reins that control the horses. So what happens is when our mind starts turning towards the self, the senses starts becoming controlled. That is the concept of upavasa, maunam and all that. Upavas means near reside. Residing closer to the Lord. Not just in physical proximity with an idol, but mentally you are with the Lord. When the mind is with the Lord, your senses won't be interested in any of the sense objects. So, pragraha means the reins that control the horses. So when your thoughts go to the divinity, your senses start getting controlled. Senses are represented by the horses. When your mind is turned towards the self, it controls the senses. In the sense, you have tremendous awareness. You say, is this contact going to help me in my spiritual evolution? At least is it not something that is detrimental? I should find out. If it is detrimental, I don't want to contact it. If it is going to contribute for my evolution, I do that. So automatically everything starts getting controlled. So, pragraha. Then nigraha. Nigraha means the killer. Nigraha, one who controls and destroys everything. One who controls and destroys everything means what? Like we just discussed, he destroys the egocentric desires and egoistic attitude. The individuality is destroyed and the totality is bestowed upon you. Individuality that gave you wrong notions due to the conditioning, they are removed. All he's saying is Lord is a taker. What do you mean by Lord is a taker? Anybody?
He takes the devotee's prayers,
okay,
requests. He takes that way.
See, there is the story of Sudama, a close friend of Lord Krishna. They both were sadhaks in Sandipani ashram. And Sudama is from a very, very poor background, as you know, from the story. And Shri Krishna is the king. Sudama's wife said, why don't you go and meet him? They are in utter poverty. Ask for some help. He didn't want to go and ask and all. He was not having any poverty in mind. He was feeling happy, rich. But he wanted to meet his friend. But he said, okay, I'll go. So he took the beaten rice, three handful of, you know, beaten rice he had taken to his friend because that's what he loves. And when he goes to the palace with his, you know, clothes, easily the gatekeepers know that he's from a very poor background. But he says, I've come to meet the king, Sri Krishna. So one fellow says, no, you cannot meet him. The other gatekeeper says, our job is to go and inform. They are not supposed to say, go in or not go in. Let's go and inform. At the time, Sri Krishna was supposed to have been on the, what do you call it, the swing. And then he was told that somebody called Sudama has come to meet you. He immediately jumps and starts running with his bare feet. Goes and hugs him and brings him inside. First thing he asks is, what did you bring for me? And then Sudama gives this. He eats everything. A few days he spends with Lord Krishna and then he comes back. He goes past his house. He couldn't recognize anything there. He goes past his house. His children are shouting from a bungalow there. And he looks there and he said, how come these fellows are at the bungalow? The story goes that every hand full of beaten rice Lord Krishna ate, so much wealth and prosperity was added to Sudama's family. What it means is, the Lord consumes all the nonsense. Swami Vivekananda says, when somebody asks him, what have you got from spiritual life? Ever since you turned spirituality, what did you get? He says, I can't list on things of what I got, but I can definitely tell you what all I lost. What all I gained, I can't list. But what all I lost, I can list. Anger, jealousy, greed, fear, arrogance, all gone. The Lord is a great consumer. As you become spiritually evolved, and your awareness increases, none of this nonsense can exist. So it kills everything. That's what it means. Nigraha means destroys. One who destroys everything. One who controls and destroys. These all is nonsense. Like for example, sense of shame. I'm not saying you'll become shameless. What we need to understand is, when you are named and shamed, people say, I've lost everything. No, just is gone. There's no more, there's no point living. Let me die. So, you know this, people do things for pride. That's the bigger motivation for a lot of people. All those kind of nonsense is destroyed. This is all fake. Thereafter, the hypocrisy will be removed from your life. Nigraha, the killer. Vyagraha, one who is ever engaged in fulfilling the devotee's desires. Another meaning is one who has no agra or end. One who is very attentive in granting the prayers of the devotees. He, fulfiller of all desires, that's what it means. When you reach the divinity, would you be left with any desire? When you reach the divinity, means all vasanas are gone. When all vasanas are gone, you are thoroughly fulfilled. There is nothing remaining unfulfilled. So that's what it means, vyagraha. So pragraha, sole receiver of all the offerings. Nigraha, the destroyer of all the negativities. And vyagraha means the one who fulfills all the desires. You become absolutely satisfied. You attain the life's goal. Naika Shringa, one who has many horns, supposed to be having four horns. Four horns means what? You think, you know, ugly creature with four horns. Four horns represents waking, dream, deep sleep and Surya. The pure conscience. Consciousness. The four states of consciousness. Actually, it is not four states of consciousness. Three states of consciousness. The fourth is the pure consciousness, which is not a state. Then Gadagraja, the elder brother of Gada. Gadagraja, one who is revealed first by mantra, or one who is the elder brother of Gada. The Nama Gada is taken to be mantra. So Gadagraja means one who is revealed through the mantras, Vedic mantras. When we chant the Vedas or the Upanishad, which is the end portion of the Vedas, we call it as mantras. Mantras are what? Manana Trayate iti mantra. That which controls and protects the mind. So, Gadagraja, one who is revealed through the mind, mantras, the elder of the Gada, means what? From the Lord the mantras come. First the Lord, then the mantras. Agraja means the, you know, the elder. Elder fellow. The first one. One before the mantra means what? The mantras have come from the Lord. I told you Lord Vishwamitra, sage Vishwamitra's story, no, once. Finally, when he realizes his mistakes, his ego surrenders to sage Vasishtha. At that time, he has lost his individuality. When he loses his individuality, then at that time, the Gayatri Mantra was revealed to him. Sage Vishwamitra. He was originally Kaushik Maharaj. King by name Kaushik. Became the sage Vishwamitra. When he lost his ego and everything completely, became realized, he had this mantra darshan, Gayatri. So, from where the mantras are coming? The mantras are coming from the Lord. So the source of all the mantras, the one before the mantras is the Lord. And through the mantras, who is revealed? The Lord. And the mantras help in controlling the mind and taking it back to the source. Therefore, it's called Gadagraja. Next shloka. Chatur Murtis, Chatur Bahus, Chatur Vyuhas, Chatur Gatihi. Chaturatma, Chaturbhavas, Chaturvedavida, Vivekabhat, Chaturmurtis, Chaturbahu, Chaturvyuhas, Chaturgatihi, Chaturatma, Chaturbhavas, Chaturvedavidekabhat, Chaturmurtihi. Four forms, that's what it means. The four forms, the Lord is called as the four formed. Ekar, dreamer, deep sleeper, and Paramatma. One beyond all. These are the four murtis. And also, you see in the translation that I gave you, it's called Virat. Virat is the maker. Sutratma. Sutratma is the dreamer. Subtle body, basically. And Avyakrita. Avyakrita means the unmanifest, which is the deep sleep. And then Turiya, the fourth. These are the four different forms of the Lord. This is with reference to the microcosm and with reference to the macrocosm. Brahman, Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha and Virat Purusha. Virat Purusha is one form. The gross form, Hiranyagarbha, the subtle form, the Ishwara, the subtlest, the Anman is a Savyakrita. And then Brahman, which is beyond all this. Therefore, Chatur Murtihi. Chatur Bahu, one who has four hands. God is always described as the one who has four hands. So, Lord Narayana is having four hands. Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma. In four hands he has this. In one hand he is having Padma, showing the goal of the Atma, the Self. And you do not get back to the Self. Don't do activities that will take you to the Self. Then the conscience, the Shankh, will prick you. Doing all selfish activities, man, be careful. So don't listen to that conscience pricking. Then what happens is, Gada, the noxious ox of life, tells you that you are not leading the life correctly. Something is wrong. Something is not alright. But you don't listen to that also. Then comes Gada. Sorry, Chakra. After Gada, which is noxious ox, comes Chakra, the destruction. Destruction in the sense, like I said before, you are stuck in a body which is not conducive for that. So you need to release that pressure a little bit. So you will be given another embodiment for a while maybe. Where you are allowed to do all that. To go through that and come out. So that you can become free. This Vedanti concept is very interesting. In Sanatana Dharma, Vedanta, it even allows you to think that having become a human being, and when a human being dies, the possibility of a human being coming back in some other form as animals are so is possible. They won't negate that. But Vedanta will tell you very clearly, but the possibility may be there theoretically, but practically it is almost impossible. But such a possibility exists. And that is also for our good only. Supposing you develop so much of vasanas to be terrorizing people, killing them and all that. Now, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do such things in the human species embodiment. So you may die and take up another embodiment like a tiger or so. And then you exhaust the vasanas. Then you may come back in human form. This theory is explained there. So what Vedanta is ultimately trying to say is, the very purpose of life is to get back to the Self. So the nature will speed up the process in some way or the other. So Chatur Bahu, one who has four hands. And these four hands are taken to be representing the subtle body in some interpretations. There are four aspects of subtle body. Anybody remembers what are they? Does anyone remember what they are? Manas, Buddhi, Ahankar,
Chitta.
Mano Buddhi Ahankar Chitta Ninaham Nacha Shrotra Jispe Nacha Grana Netre Nacha Vyoma Bhumir Natejo Navayu Chidhananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham
Chidanandarupah Shivoham Shivoham. Beautiful Atma Shatakam by Adi Shankaracharya. Mano Buddhi Ahankar Chit. Manas, mind. Buddhi, intellect. Chitta, memory. And God, Ahankar, ego. All are nothing but thoughts only. Isn't it? The thoughts and their indiscriminate nature, it's called manas. When the thoughts are discriminate in nature, it is called intellect. The recollected thoughts are called memory, the stored away thoughts. And then ego, the arrogating thoughts. Mira, I am. The arrogating thoughts. So these are the four aspects of the subtle body. Sukshma Sharira, Manas, Buddhi, Ahankar, Chit. So Satur Baha in some places interpreted as these four aspects of the subtle body, inner equipments. Then Chatur Vyuha, one having four manifestations. Chatur Vyuha. One who expresses himself as the dynamic center in the four Vyuhas. Meaning all different activities, whirlpool of activities. So, the commander, the one behind all activities. Physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual. One behind all the activities. And very, very interesting. In the Aitreya Upanishad, the four yuhas are mentioned. That is the person in the physical body. And then the person in the chandas, the Vedic meters, Vedic mantra. And the person in the Vedas, and then Paramatma. So what they are trying to say is, the Paramatma first manifests through the Vedas. Then the Paramatma manifests through the mantras, or the meter, chandas. Then the same Paramatma is manifested through this body. For Chatur Vyuha. You say not Chakra Vyuha. Like that, we have four different bodies, four different Vyuhas. And then Chatur Gatihi. Chatur Gatihi means the ultimate goal of all the four. Who are the four? Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa. For all these four, the ultimate goal is what? Self-realization. And also the four represents Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. For all the four different Varnashrama people, and for all the people who are in four different stages in life. The goal is only one. What? Supreme Brahman. Chatur Gatihi. Chatur Atma. Chatur Atma. Very, very interesting. One whose self is specially endowed with absolute purity. Chatur Atma. Clear-minded. The Atma in the manas, intellect, ego
and memory, which is purified of all the impurities. That is Chaturatma. Then there is another reading of this term, Chaturatma, in some of the Vishnu Sahasranama readings. It's called as Chatvaratma. Chatvaratma means the infinite effulgence which expresses itself as the four aspects of our inner equipments. So, whichever way you see, the Atma of all the four equipments is Brahman, the Supreme Self. And then Chaturbhava, the source of the four. The source of the four, one who is the source of the four Varnas, again the Ashrama. And what is the source? The source of all beings is pure consciousness. Therefore, Chaturbhava. The translation that I gave you, he says, one from whom has originated the four human values. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha. People have different interests in life. In the beginning, when you are ignorant, you will be interested in Artha and Kama. Then you will be interested in Dharma. You want to earn Punyam. Then you understand that Dharma is also useless. What is ultimate need? Moksha. So then that bhav you learn. Bhav means thinking, no? Huh? You see these actors, they are playing different roles. I don't know if you have seen any shooting rehearsals or anything. But such rehearsals are going on. The actor gets into that bhav. When he gets into that bhav, his walk changes, his talk changes, modulation changes, everything changes. Very, very interesting. Somewhere I read, when you have a bhav, that is what you will come to be. And beautifully it explains. Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he tried different spiritual sadhanas, different spiritual methods. So in one he took to the bhavana of the consort of the Lord. So he became so much involved in the bhav. Jini is the wife of the Lord. Bhakta. Bharta Bharya, that kind of a relationship. And it says that he almost turned into a woman. So you can see that. That's why I'm saying, when you see the actors, they get into that mood. Then everything changes. They lose their identity temporarily. And they get into that identity. So, that is what he is saying here. Chatur Bhava. When you constantly identify with the material world, artha, wealth, you become like that. So that bhav needs to be cleansed. The next one is indulgence, bhava, kama. And then the next one is dharma bhava, punya, 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 punya. One punya, punya. I think more than punya, you think. And the last is atma bhava. Beautifully, Lord Hanumanji summarizes this in Ramayana. He says, Deha bhave dasosmi. Jiva bhave tvadamshakaha. Atma bhave tvameva aham. Deha bhave, from the point of view of the body. When I express through the body, when the Atma is expressed through the body, that personality, who's physical, that personality, he says, Deha bhave dasosmi, I'm thy servant. Jiva bhave tvadamshaka. Then the Atma expresses through the mind. You become the Jiva. Isn't it? And as the Jiva Bhava, I'm part of it. But I'm a spark, you are the conflagration. Atma Bhave Tvameva Aham. So there is spiritual personality, intellectual personality, emotional personality, physical personality. You can look at it that way also. Four different bhavas. Chatur bhava. Chatur veda vitt. More of all the four Vedas. Veda vitt means one who knows. Knows doesn't mean one who knows to chant Vedas. Memorize Vedas. Backwards and forwards you can chant Vedas. That is not what it means. Veda vitt means the essence of all the four Vedas is Brahma. So he knows the essence of all the four Vedas. Some people have the name Chaturvedi. Trivedi. Trivedi means he knows three Vedas. Chaturvedi means one who knows four Vedas. Four Vedas means what? The essence of four Vedas he knows. There's no point in knowing all the four Vedas, but you do not know the essence. It's useless that way. You know? So when he says Chaturveda, ultimately that is important. What is the ultimate essence of the four Vedas? See, people fighting, I'm from a niche jati, I am from a superior jati, all mad fellows. No one is superior, no one is inferior. No shastra discriminates like that. Right? We have studied the jati as per Bhagavad Gita is what it very clearly says, it's for gunas. And in this, nobody is superior, no one is inferior. So where is this niche jati and how this came about, I don't know. So what is the tatparyam, the essence or the summary of all the Vedas finally, or the Bhagavad Gita? What? Anyone? Brahma satyam jagat nitya jivo brahmaiva na paraha. Brahman is satyam. Jagat Nitya and truth. Jiva Brahmaiva Naparah. This Jiva is none other than Brahman. Now that Jivan may be Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, doesn't. So it doesn't tell you to see the differences. It tells you to see the essence. But yet people keep seeing these differences, fighting, this thing. They're all madness everywhere. So Chaturveda Vyakta. One who knows the essence of the Vedas. The pure consciousness. When you know the essence of the four Vedas, you will have love for everyone. You cannot hate anybody. That's what it says. Through all the four Vedas, who is to be known? Brahman. Through all the four Vedas, Brahman is to be known. Nobody else. So, Chatur Murti, the four forms, Virat Purusha, Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara and Brahman. Chatur Bahu, four hands, the subtle body, mind, intellect, memory, ego. And then Chatur Vyuha, four different coverings. Chatur Vyuha. As I told you, the ultimate Paramatma, Purusha, is manifested through the Vedas, that is one personality, then through the mantras, then through the physical body. Chatur Vyuha. Manifesting through the spiritual activities, intellectual activities, emotional activities and physical activities. Chatur Gatihi, the ultimate goal of all the four Varnas, Ashramas. Chatur Atma. The Atma is one, which is witness, which is also expresses as brilliance at the intellect level, fine feeling at the emotional level, perception and action at the physical level. Chatur Bhava. Various different bhavas, material personality, physical personality. Material personality is interested in artha only. Physical personality is interested in the joys of the senses. Dharma means at the mind level I want punya, heaven. Mind wants to be in heaven. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, bhav is of the Lord. This is the bhav he wants to actually say. And then he says, Chatur Vedavit. You then become the knower of the essence of the Veda. So, you know, sometimes you think, hey, I didn't understand this verse, that won't bother. Understand one thing. The ultimate source of everything is Brahman. Everything is nothing but Brahman. Brahman alone. I must internalize this truth. This is all important. Everything else is not important. And my mind starts moving towards oneness. Rather than differences. Eka path. The one footed or one part. Meaning of the path is path or foot. See, in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, you know, this entire universe, he says, I think it's in the 15th chapter, I think. He says, this entire universe that you see is just one small part of mine. I remain beyond. That's what he says. The whole universe is supported by one part of myself. Just by one part of myself. But I am Purushottama. Uttama Purushastvanyaha. Uttama Purushastvanyaha means I am somebody else. Uttama Purusha. Completely different being. So this Virat Purusha, Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara, beyond all this is Uttama Purusha. This is the whole universe is just one small part of mine. What they are trying to say is, you cannot intellectually grasp Brahma. Not possible. So the entire universe is just one small part. Also, another meaning, foot means all beings are his feet. What does it mean? The feet itself is the whole world, whole universe. So there is a lot more you don't understand. It is something beyond. So intellectually you cannot understand. What you have to do? You have to merge. When you merge, you get it. So, in other words, you try to understand the divinity is not possible. But if you are ready to sublimate in the divinity, it is possible. Even in the 66th shloka of chapter 2, sorry, chapter 18, Bhagavad Gita, what does he say? Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam. Finally, you will come, you should come to the stage where you say, a sublimate myself. I completely surrender. So when I completely surrender, what happens? The individuality merges with the total. The river merges with the ocean. It loses its individuality as a river, but it gains the totality. It has become the ocean. So, when you understand the Eka path and all that, these conditionings that we have, you know, I am impure, I am this, I am that, I am, just throw away all these conditionings. All this rubbish. The conditionings have to drop. Spirituality is not wearing a new conditioning. Madness. Spirituality is dropping all the colors. We have various colors smeared on us. All these different conditionings. I am rich, I am poor. I am healthy, I am unhealthy, I am this thing, I am that thing. I am useless, I am good. Throw all that nonsense. When all that goes, what remains is divinity. So when you read this Chaturmurti, Chaturvyuha, Chaturbahu, Chaturdhisthi, Chaturdhati, it is ultimately trying to say only one thing. What? That one has become many. That one has become many. It depends in which angle you are seeing. From one angle, she is the chairman. Another angle, she is the mother. Another angle, she is the wife. Another angle, she is the daughter. Depends on you see. She is daughter to somebody, wife to somebody, mother to somebody, chairman to the organization. And when she takes those roles, her bhav changes now. The motherly bhav is different from wife bhav. Daughter bhav. All these various bhavs are there. You remember the Bhagavad Gita, I talked about fourfold bhakti. Artha, Kama, Dharma. Jignyasu. Artharti, Artha, Jignyasu, Jnani. The four types of bhaktas is this. Chaturvidha, Bhajante, Ma. Four types of people worship me. One fellow worships for wealth. Another fellow worships for